Congressman Jim McGovern from Massachusetts 2nd District, next door to my home in the 1st District. Jim McGovern, let me ask you a question. Is A.G. Barr on such shaky grounds that he ought to resign?
Well, I believe he should resign. I've called for him to resign. I think he has forgotten that he is the attorney general for all people in this country. He's not the president's personal attorney. But he behaves more like Rudy Giuliani than he behaves like, an attorney general. And the bottom line is he lied.
The New York Times ran a piece in which they said, you know, he's not of one kind or another. Yeah, sometimes he's shilling basically for the president. I don't want to use a word they didn't use, but shilling for the president. Other times he shows a little bit more spunk. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, when it's counted, he looks like he's been shilling for the president. I mean, I don't regard him as, an honest arbiter or interpreter of the laws of this country. I view him as a hack.
I think that's a reasonable position. So let's talk a little bit about immigration, Mexico. The president did his usual thing. He says, okay, I'm the great arbiter here, and I know the art of the deal. And he got his behind kicked, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, the bottom line is the president is good at creating crises, and then, then he backs down and says he solved the crisis that he created. Well, the bottom line is the deal that he announced with Mexico was basically a deal that was agreed on months ago. So for all his huffing and puffing and threats of tariffs, it didn't do anything. We didn't get anything in addition other than just making the markets much more nervous about the stability of our economy. So nothing was achieved. And look, the bottom line is this president is focused on immigration in the way he is because he thinks there's a political winner for him with his base. The constant, the displays of xenophobia and hate and division that he enunciates every single day. I mean, it's horrible, to be honest with you. It is so unbecoming of the president of the United States, but that's what he does because he thinks it makes, the people at Fox News happy. He says that, for example, that, when he gets questioned that, he's not that bad at immigration. He wants to help the Dreamers and those who, who have temporary protected status. Well, the House of Representatives passed the Dream and Promise Act last week. And that helps the Dreamers and helps those with TPS. If he really believes that these people should stay, then he should tell the Senate, take it up, and then send it to him and he'll sign it. But he won't, because helping anybody, giving somebody a visa, in his opinion, undermines his credibility with his right-wing base. And it really is horrible. We need to fix our immigration laws, and we need to return to a time when we had, we had strong immigration laws, but we didn't lose our compassion.
You recently wrote an op-ed about human rights abuses in Russia. Why'd you do that?
Because I co-chair the Human Rights Commission in Congress, and I care deeply about human rights. I think if the United States stands for anything, we need to stand out loud and foursquare for human rights. It ought to be the centerpiece of our foreign policy. Under this administration, the words human rights never get mentioned. The coziness that this president has with Vladimir Putin worries me greatly. But what worries me even more so is the fact that he's willing to turn a blind eye when Putin jails people who dissent, where he, where his political opponents disappear or are murdered. And it's not just in Russia. It's in Saudi Arabia. It's in Turkey. I mean, I can go right down the list of dictatorships that he's enamored with. But when it comes to human rights, he won't say anything. I mean, look, he's selling weapons, U.S.-made weapons, to the government of Saudi Arabia. A government that, jails anybody who raises any dissent. They're talking about executing a teenager, who raised some questions about the way the government's being run. I mean, a government that has launched this terrible war in Yemen, which is barbaric, and dropping U.S. bombs on school buses and weddings and funerals, and it's awful. And the government that that tortured, murdered, and dismembered a Washington Post journalist. And this president, our president, is saying we should sell them more weapons. And he's not only wants to sell them more weapons, he's trying to get around any kind of checks and balances, you know, where Congress has a role in it. I mean, so human rights ought to be front and center. And, our relationships with other countries ought not to just be about how much money we can get from them and how many weapons we can sell them.
One of the things that caught my eye was a certain compassion you're having here for the Wounded Warrior Service Dog Act. What was that?
Yeah, so, a lot of returning veterans, coming back from service, in not only in Iraq but also in Afghanistan, have battled with issues like post-traumatic stress. And one of the things we have learned is that service dogs can have a curative impact, can help them get off of heavy, prescriptions and help them resume their lives. And we have tried for some time now to get the VA and the Defense Department to do that, acknowledge how important service dogs are. They've been slow, quite frankly. And so I've been introducing this bill, the Wounded Warrior Service Dog Act, which would direct the Secretaries of Defense and Veterans Affairs to establish a competitive grant program to provide funding for nonprofit organizations, whose mission it is to address physical and mental health needs of service members. The trouble is service dogs cost, up to $60,000 to train adequately. And so most, the VA doesn't cover it, and most, people can't afford it. And so so as we've been waiting to get this bill enacted, I have put in the appropriations bill, defense appropriations bill every year, basically what this bill would do. And we have $10 million that has been appropriated. This will be the second year it's been appropriated. The fourth year we've appropriated this. And so organizations, including many in Massachusetts that train service dogs, can get money from this program to help offset the cost for veterans, so veterans can afford to have them.
Can you take just a minute to tell us about what you're doing with the major pharmaceutical companies and some of the disgraceful stuff they're doing?
Yeah, so we've actually passed a couple of bills in the House, which we're hoping the Senate will take up, which would shore up protections for people with pre-existing conditions and lower prescription drug prices and crack down on junk health insurance plans. But the bottom line is that we need to do more. I mean, we're trying to get Medicare to be able to negotiate on bulk on behalf of all senior citizens to get prescription drug prices lower. We're trying to get our oversight committees to do more oversight into excessive practices by some of these pharmaceutical companies. I mean, I had a group of parents come to visit me a few weeks ago, all whose kids all have diabetes. And one mother said to me, insulin is nothing new. It's been on the market forever. Why is it the prices continue to skyrocket? Mm. How could people get away with that? And why is it that, for a tenth of the cost, I could get the same prescription in Canada? Why is it that, why is it that there's such a disparity here in the United States? But the bottom line is these are powerful companies who give a lot of money to lobbyists in D.C. and give a lot of money to political parties and to members of Congress. And that's why I think ultimately the way we're going to deal with this is by passing honest-to-goodness campaign finance reform, finding a way to take the money out of politics, because I think so much of this lean toward big corporations is due to the fact that they give a lot of money. That's why I don't take any corporate PAC money, because I think the appearance doesn't look good, but also because, I think they give because they expect that you give back in return, and I don't think that that's the way our government should be run.
We love Jim McGovern talking to us each time that he comes on. And I know how busy you are, and I know that people are lined outside your office trying to get in to touch you, and you're talking to us, and that's great. When you come back the next time, I need another 10 minutes of your time, and I'll leave you alone for a little while, okay?
Thank you. I'll look forward to it.